Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Always exciting.
This time, we're going down a path that, you know, maybe might surprise some people.
Yeah.
It's the connection between trauma and the body. People might be thinking like, all right, trauma, yeah, tough, but what's that got to do with like my physical self?
Right.
That's what we're going to uncover.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are surprised to find out just how deep that connection goes.
Yeah. So to help us uncover this,
yeah.
We are using the work of trauma expert Tim Fletcher.
Great resource.
Yeah, we've got some of his YouTube lectures and some research notes.
Yeah, and the things this guy uncovers are mind-blowing.
Yeah, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, he really digs into, like, the hidden impacts of trauma.
Yeah.
Like, one thing is he points out that it's not always those big dramatic events.
Right, we always think of big T trauma, right?
Like the car accidents.
Yeah, natural disasters.
Yeah, the big thing.
That sort of thing.
Right, but what Fletcher highlights is the power of what he calls little T traumas. These are like those subtle but pervasive experiences of neglect that many of us might not even recognize as traumatic.
See, I've heard that term before, little T trauma.
Uh-huh.
But I never really quite like grasped it.
Yeah.
Like, what is a concrete example of that?
Well, think about a child who grows up feeling unseen or unheard by their parents.
Okay.
Maybe their parents were workaholics, you know, physically present but emotionally absent.
Right.
Or maybe they had a sibling with a disability who required a lot of attention, leaving them feeling invisible.
Okay.
Those experiences, you know, on the surface, they might not seem like big T trauma.
Right.
But that constant drip, drip, drip of emotional neglect can leave deep wounds.
So you're saying that even these like subtle forms of neglect can have a really lasting impact?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It shapes how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how we interact with others.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating is that these little T traumas can actually lead to complex trauma.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a wound that keeps getting reopened. It's that ongoing exposure to danger or distress.
Right.
Makes it really difficult for a person to develop a solid sense of self and healthy coping mechanisms.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how all of this connects.
Uh-huh.
But here's where I think it gets really interesting is how does this emotional experience of trauma manifest in our bodies?
Right.
Like, I get, you know, heartbreak is one thing.
Yeah.
But like, how does that translate into actual physical symptoms?
Well, it's almost like our bodies keep score, even if our minds try to bury the trauma.
Mm.
You know, when we face a threat, our bodies go into that fight or flight mode.
Oh, yeah.
Our heart races, our breathing gets faster, and hormones like cortisol flood our system.
Oh, yeah. I know that feeling like deadline pressure at work will trigger that for me.
Exactly. It's a natural survival mechanism.
Right.
But when trauma is ongoing, that stress response system can get stuck in overdrive. So imagine living in a constant state of high alert with your body pumping out cortisol nonstop.
Yeah, that's not good.
Over time, it takes a toll.
So how does that chronic stress response actually lead to physical problems, though?
Well, think about it like this.
Okay.
If you're constantly revving your car engine, eventually something's going to give.
Right.
Same is true for our bodies.
Right.
That chronic flooding of stress hormones can disrupt our gut health,
uh-huh.
mess with our sleep, weaken our immune system, and
yeah.
even change the structure of our brains.
Wow. So all those, like, you know, unexplained aches, the constant fatigue, digestive issues that never seem to go away, they could all be rooted in unresolved trauma.
It's definitely a possibility worth exploring.
Wow.
And this is where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Tim Fletcher talks about this concept of disembodiment, which is essentially the feeling of being disconnected from your own body.
Disembodiment. Okay, that's a new one for me.
Yeah.
I think I kind of get it, but can you like unpack that a little more?
Yeah. So imagine going through the motions of your day.
Okay.
But feeling numb, like you're watching yourself from outside your body.
Hmm.
You might ignore your body's signals, like hunger cues or the need for rest,
yeah.
because you've learned to tune them out as a way to cope with these overwhelming experiences.
You know, now that you mention it, I think I've experienced that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm super stressed and I just like power through the day, even though my body's screaming for a break.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
And it can manifest in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
Pushing through exhaustion, ignoring pain, even things like bedwetting can be a sign of that disconnect between mind and body.
Mm. Yeah. I'm starting to see how this connects to the idea of body image issues, too.
Yeah.
Right. If we're disconnected from our bodies, we might have a distorted view of them.
That's a great point. And it's where we see the link between trauma and conditions like body dysmorphic disorder or BDD.
Right.
Individuals with BDD obsess over perceived flaws in their appearance.
Right.
And it's not just about vanity.
Okay.
It comes from a deep-seated sense of shame and self-loathing that often has its roots in trauma.
So those early experiences of, like, being teased or criticized for our appearance, or even just growing up in a culture that bombards us with images of, like, perfect bodies.
Right. Exactly.
That can contribute to this.
Absolutely. It's like the trauma creates the vulnerability, and then those societal pressures magnify the problem.
Okay.
Think about it. If you're already feeling disconnected from your body, and then you're constantly bombarded with messages about how your body should look.
Right.
It's easy to fall into that trap of self-criticism and shame.
This is all so unsettling, but also, like, incredibly insightful.
Mm.
I'm starting to see, like, patterns in my own life and the lives of people I know that I never connected to trauma before.
Right.
Like, it's all starting to make sense.
That's the power of understanding trauma.
Yeah.
It helps us make sense of ourselves and the world around us in a whole new way.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that trauma can take many forms.
Right.
Some more obvious than others.
Okay, so we've talked about those subtle little T traumas. The ongoing stress of complex trauma.
Right.
And that disconnect of disembodiment.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim Fletcher also talks about a very specific type of trauma called betrayal trauma.
Yes.
So what sets this type of trauma apart?
Well, betrayal trauma is especially insidious because it involves a violation of trust.
Right.
By someone we depend on for safety and security.
Okay.
Could be a parent, a partner, a friend, even an institution we trusted.
So it's not just the traumatic event itself.
Right.
But the fact that it comes from someone we're supposed to be able to rely on.
Exactly. And the deeper the trust, the deeper the wound.
Oh, wow.
So imagine a child who's abused by a caregiver.
Right.
Or a partner who discovers a long-term deception.
Yeah.
These are profound betrayals that can shatter our sense of safety.
Right.
And make it incredibly difficult to trust ourselves and others.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, it's like our whole foundation is shaken when someone we rely on betrays us.
Yeah.
So how does betrayal trauma usually manifest then?
Well, the emotional fallout can be really complex.
Okay.
Often there's shock and denial followed by a deep sense of grief.
Right.
But there can also be rage, fear, guilt, and shame.
Wow.
It's like a whirlwind of emotions that can be really difficult to process.
So it's not just like sadness or hurt.
Right.
It's that sense of like betrayal, confusion, and maybe even like anger at yourself for trusting the person who hurt you.
Exactly.
It just all feels so like tangled and messy.
It is, and that's why healing from betrayal trauma can be particularly challenging because it requires not only processing the event itself, but also rebuilding trust in yourself and learning to navigate relationships in a new way.
Wow. It's a lot to take in, but it's incredibly valuable information.
Yeah.
I'm already starting to see connections to my own experiences and the experiences of people I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're piecing together a puzzle.
Right.
Understanding how all these different aspects of trauma fit together.
Absolutely. And we've only just begun to scratch the surface.
Oh.
There's so much more to explore, including how trauma impacts our bodies in very specific ways.
Okay.
Starting with our faces, the windows to our souls.
Okay, now you've really got my attention.
All right.
Our faces. That's fascinating. I'm ready to dive deeper.
Let's do it. You know, it's amazing how much we communicate without even saying a word.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Our faces, especially our eyes, can reveal so much about what's going on inside.
That's true. I've definitely had those moments where I can just kind of sense someone's mood just by like their facial expression, even if they're not saying anything.
Exactly.
But how does trauma play into all of this?
Well, Tim Fletcher actually has this fascinating video called Windows to the Soul. How trauma negatively impacts your eyes. And he really dives into this topic.
Okay.
He explains that when we experience trauma, especially in childhood, it can actually get imprinted on our faces.
Imprinted on our faces. That sounds kind of freaky.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling when you think about it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. When we're faced with a threat, our natural response is to tense up.
Right.
Our eyes dart around looking for danger. Maybe we squint or frown.
Yeah.
These are all instinctive reactions.
Right. To protect ourselves.
Exactly.
But how does that turn into like a physical imprint on our faces?
Well, if we're constantly experiencing trauma, especially during those early years when our brains are still developing, those fear responses can become habitual.
Oh.
Our facial muscles literally learn to hold that tension.
Mm.
and our eyes might develop patterns of avoidance or hypervigilance.
So it's like our faces are telling a story even if we're not consciously aware of it.
Exactly. We might be walking around with tense jaw muscles, a furrowed brow, eyes that dart around nervously.
Yeah.
And it's all stemming from that unresolved trauma.
It's a bit unsettling to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, if our faces are betraying our trauma like that, how does that even affect how we interact with other people?
It can create all sorts of challenges.
Okay.
You know, people might misinterpret our expressions, perceiving us as unfriendly, angry, untrustworthy.
Oh, wow.
Even though we're not actually feeling those things at all, it's
right.
Like our trauma is creating a barrier between us and others, making it hard to connect and build relationships.
I never really thought about it that way before.
It's like we're sending out these signals without even realizing it.
Yeah. And the other person is just picking up on that and misinterpreting it.
Exactly. And what's even more fascinating is that this can actually play into those feelings of disembodiment we were talking about earlier.
Right.
You know, if we're not even aware of the tension we're holding in our faces or the way our eyes are moving,
right,
it can further that sense of disconnect from our bodies.
So it's like a vicious cycle.
It is.
The trauma leads to these facial and eye patterns.
Right.
Which then just reinforce that feeling of being disconnected from our bodies.
Exactly. But the good news is that these patterns can be healed.
Okay, good.
You know, Tim Fletcher talks about the importance of becoming aware of those habits. Working with the body through things like somatic experiencing or massage, and ultimately addressing the root trauma that's driving those physical responses.
So it's like we have to untangle those knots.
Yes.
On both a physical and emotional level.
Exactly. A holistic approach to healing.
Speaking of healing, I'm really curious to dive into those signs of healing that Tim Fletcher mentions.
Yes.
What are some of the things that indicate someone is on the path to recovery?
That's a great question, and I think it's so helpful to have those markers of progress, you know?
Yeah.
Because it can be so encouraging to see those signs that we're moving in the right direction.
Right.
Even if it's slow, even if it's a winding journey.
It's still progress.
Exactly. And one of the first signs that Fletcher highlights is a shift in perspective about helplessness.
Helplessness.
Yeah.
How does that play into trauma recovery?
Well, when we experience trauma, especially as children, we often feel helpless, powerless to change our circumstances. Mm. But as we heal,
we start to recognize that while we may have been helpless, then we're not helpless now.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's this acknowledgement of like, okay, I was helpless then, but I'm not helpless now.
Right.
I'm able to resolve this issue now, whereas I couldn't as a child.
So it's about like reclaiming your power, recognizing that you have choices.
It's a powerful shift from a victim mentality
to
a sense of agency.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and with that shift in perspective comes the ability to challenge the distortions.
Distortions, what do you mean?
Yeah, trauma can lead to all sorts of distorted thinking patterns.
Okay.
For example, a child who experienced neglect might develop a belief that they're unlovable, unworthy.
Yeah.
And these beliefs can then carry over into adulthood.
Right, shaping our relationship and how we see ourselves.
Yeah, it's like we're carrying around these false narratives
that
keep us stuck in those patterns of pain and self-sabotage.
It's tough to break free from those sometimes.
It is. But as we heal, we start to question those distortions.
Yeah.
And we begin to see things more clearly.
Okay.
We might recognize that, you know, our parents' neglect wasn't about us, but about their own limitations or struggles.
Right, their own stuff.
Yeah, it's about separating the facts from the feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Recognizing that our childhood experiences don't define who we are.
It's so powerful, like peeling back the layers of those old stories and then rewriting them with a new perspective.
Exactly. And another sign of healing is a decrease in self-judgment.
Okay.
As individuals heal, they start to treat themselves with more kindness and compassion.
That's a big one, I think.
It is.
For a lot of people, myself included.
Right. That inner critic can be so harsh and unforgiving.
Oh, yeah. It's like we're our own worst enemy sometimes.
It's true. But healing allows us to silence that inner critic.
Okay.
And replace it with self-acceptance and understanding.
That's beautiful.
You know, there's a noticeable change in their internal dialogue.
Right.
Instead of that harsh self-criticism. There's a sense of curiosity.
And a willingness to understand their emotions without judgment.
Learning to be your own best friend instead of your own worst enemy.
Exactly. And I imagine that shift in self-perception also impacts how we interact with others.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. As we start to recognize our own worth, we're less likely to tolerate disrespect or mistreatment from others.
Right.
So Fletcher explains that individuals in recovery are better able to stand up for themselves,
okay,
set boundaries,
yeah,
and assert their needs without fear of rejection or abandonment.
So they're reclaiming their power.
Yes.
And no longer allowing themselves to be treated as less than they are.
They might have previously been people pleasers.
Right.
Constantly seeking approval and validation from others.
Yeah.
But as they heal, they start to prioritize their own needs and well-being.
And I can see how that ties back into the idea of healing from betrayal trauma, too.
Absolutely.
Right. If you've been betrayed by someone you trusted.
Mm-hmm.
It can make it so hard to trust yourself.
Yeah.
And to even believe that your needs are valid.
Exactly. It all comes back to that sense of self-worth.
All right.
And the ability to trust our own judgment.
Yeah.
And as individuals heal, they also start to recognize that asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
Right.
But a sign of strength and self-awareness.
Asking for help can be so challenging.
It can.
Especially for people who have experienced trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they've learned to distrust others or to believe that their needs are a burden.
Right. But as healing unfolds,
mm-hmm.
they begin to see that reaching out for support is a sign of courage, not weakness.
Yeah.
They understand they don't have to go through this alone.
Right.
And that there are people who care and want to help.
It makes a big difference to have that support system.
It does.
And as they become more comfortable asking for help, do they also start to prioritize self-care more?
You read my mind. That's another key sign of healing.
Okay.
Fletcher observes that individuals in recovery become more aware of their needs and make a conscious effort to meet those needs in healthy ways.
So it's about taking ownership of their well-being.
Exactly.
Recognizing that they are worthy of care and attention.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like in practice?
Well, it could be anything from prioritizing sleep.
Good.
Eating nutritious foods.
Right.
To exercising regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging in activities that bring them joy and setting boundaries to protect their time and energy.
So it's about building a life that feels good.
Yes.
And supports their overall well-being.
Exactly. And as they prioritize self-care, I imagine they also start to develop healthier coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
For dealing with stress and those inevitable difficult emotions.
Right, because those are going to come up no matter what.
Exactly. But instead of turning to unhealthy behaviors to numb the pain, they're developing healthier ways to manage those emotions.
Okay.
This might involve mindfulness practices,
right,
creative expression, spending time in nature,
yeah,
or simply connecting with supportive friends and family.
It's like they're building a toolbox,
yes,
of resources that they can draw on.
Exactly.
When they're feeling overwhelmed or triggered.
And that makes them more resilient.
Right.
They're better equipped to navigate life's challenges,
yeah,
without falling back into those old patterns of self-sabotage or avoidance.
This is all so encouraging.
Yeah.
It really paints a picture of what's possible,
mm-hmm,
you know, on the other side of trauma.
Absolutely.
We've talked about how trauma can impact our relationships.
But, mm-hmm.
So do those relationships start to shift as well as part of this healing process?
That's a great question, and the answer is a resounding yes.
Okay, good.
Fletcher observes that as individuals heal, they're able to form deeper, more authentic connections,
mm-hmm,
with others.
Okay.
They're less likely to engage in people-pleasing,
right,
or codependent behaviors.
Yeah.
And they're more able to set those boundaries and communicate their needs effectively.
So it's like they're attracting healthier relationships because they're showing up as their authentic selves.
Yes.
With a greater sense of self-worth and boundaries.
Exactly. And because they're no longer trying to fill a void within themselves,
mm-hmm,
through those relationships,
right,
they can actually experience a level of connection and intimacy,
yeah,
that wasn't possible before.
Wow. That's really powerful.
It is.
It really highlights how healing from trauma can ripple outward.
Mm-hmm.
Impacting not just our own lives,
right,
but also the lives of those around us.
It speaks to the interconnectedness of our human experience.
I love that.
You know, we can't heal in isolation.
Yeah.
We need connection, compassion, understanding.
It's a reminder that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And that healing is possible, even from the deepest wounds.
Well said. And speaking of deep wounds, you know, we've talked a lot about the more obvious forms of trauma.
Right, like the big events and the betrayals that leave scars.
Exactly. But Tim Fletcher also sheds light on the surprising ways that spoiling a child can actually be a form of trauma.
Wait, what? Spoiling a child? How can that be traumatic? I always thought of spoiling as like giving them too much love or attention.
Right, it seems counterintuitive.
Too many gifts, maybe. but not as something harmful. I know it's like you think showering a child with love and gifts would be like the opposite of traumatic.
It does, and I think a lot of parents operate from that assumption.
Right.
But Fletcher really dives into the subtle dynamics at play here, and it's really eye-opening.
Okay.
He explains that while spoiling often comes from a place of love,
okay,
it can actually create an environment where a child's emotional needs are neglected, leading to some pretty significant unintended consequences.
Okay, I'm all ears. Explain this to me. How can giving a child too much be harmful?
Well, I think it boils down to the difference between meeting a child's needs and indulging their wants.
Okay.
Children thrive when their core needs are met.
Right.
You know, we're talking physical needs, emotional needs, the need to learn and explore,
yeah,
to connect with others, and to develop a sense of meaning and purpose.
So it's about providing like a strong foundation for them to grow and develop into healthy, well-rounded individuals.
But when we spoil a child, the focus often shifts from meeting those core needs to indulging their every whim. They might get everything they want materially, but their emotional development might get left behind. So even though they're getting all this stuff and all this attention, they're not actually learning those essential skills of like self-regulation, resilience, empathy.
Precisely. And this can lead to some real challenges later on.
Yeah.
You know, they might struggle with boundaries, develop a sense of entitlement, have difficulty coping with setbacks and disappointments.
It's like they're living in this bubble protected from the realities of life.
Exactly.
Which ultimately doesn't do them any favors.
And the irony is that those parents who spoil their children are often trying to give them what they themselves lacked growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be overcompensating for a difficult childhood.
Right. Or using material possessions and attention as a substitute for genuine emotional connection.
So it's not always about like malice or a lack of love.
Right.
It's about those unconscious patterns that we all carry from our own past.
And I think it's a good reminder that we're all works in progress.
Yeah.
Doing the best we can with the tools we have.
Right.
Parenting is hard.
For sure.
And it's okay to ask for help and support along the way.
This is also fascinating, but also a little bit daunting.
Yeah.
We've covered so many different types of trauma, from those big T events to these more subtle forms of neglect and even spoiling.
It's like
trauma can lurk around every corner.
It can feel that way, can it? But here's the thing.
Oh.
Understanding trauma is not about living in fear or seeing danger everywhere.
Right.
It's about empowering ourselves to recognize those patterns.
Okay.
To heal our own wounds.
Yeah.
And to create a more compassionate and supportive world for ourselves and for future generations.
Yeah. It's not about dwelling on the negative.
Exactly.
It's about using this knowledge to create positive change.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to talk about healing.
Yeah.
To recognize that even the deepest wounds can be mended.
Speaking of healing.
Yeah.
We talked about those signs of recovery earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other markers of progress?
There are.
That Tim Fletcher highlights that we haven't really touched on yet.
One that he really emphasizes is a renewed connection to the body.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about disembodiment?
Uh-huh. That feeling of being disconnected from our physical selves.
Well, as individuals heal, they start to reclaim that connection.
So they start to listen to their bodies to honor their needs.
Exactly.
To feel more at home in their own skin.
They might start paying more attention to their breath, engaging in physical activities they enjoy, or exploring practices like yoga or somatic experiencing that help them reconnect with their bodies in a safe and supportive way.
It makes sense if trauma leads to that disconnect from the body. Then healing must involve rebuilding that connection.
And as that connection is restored, they might also start to notice a shift in their energy levels.
Okay.
Trauma can be incredibly draining, both physically and emotionally.
Right. It takes a lot out of you.
But as healing happens, they often find they have more energy, more vitality, more zest for life.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. It's like they're reclaiming that life force, that spark that was dimmed by the trauma.
I like that.
And as that spark reignites, they might also find themselves drawn to creativity.
Okay.
Trauma can shut us down, you know, make us feel numb and disconnected from our creative impulses.
Yeah.
But healing opens up those channels again.
So they might start to express themselves through art or music writing, dance, anything that allows them to tap into that creative flow.
And that creative expression can be incredibly healing in itself.
Yeah.
It allows us to process emotions, tell our stories, and reclaim our voices.
It's like giving a voice to the parts of ourselves that were silenced by the trauma.
And as they find their voice, I imagine they also start to find their purpose.
Okay.
That's another beautiful sign of healing.
Okay.
The sense of purpose and meaning.
Right.
Trauma can make us feel lost and adrift, unsure of our place in the world.
Yeah.
But as we heal, we start to reconnect with our values, our passions, our sense of purpose.
So it's not just about surviving anymore.
Exactly.
It's about thriving.
Yes.
About living a life that feels authentic and meaningful.
And that's where we see the true power of healing.
Right.
It's not just about the absence of pain. It's about the presence of joy, connection, and a sense of wholeness that radiates outward.
I like that.
Touching not just our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
This has been such an incredible journey of exploration.
It has.
I feel like we've gained so much insight into the complexities of trauma and the many pathways to healing.
Yeah. And you know what strikes me most is the message of hope that runs through it all.
Yes. It would be easy to get lost in all the darkness.
Right.
But the truth is that healing is always possible.
It is. And I think the key is to approach ourselves and others with compassion, understanding, and a belief in the inherent capacity for healing that resides within each of us.
Beautifully said. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
I agree.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Into the world of trauma and healing. We hope you found it insightful and empowering.
And until next time, take good care.